This is Sound and Query, the Southern Illinois University Medical Library's podcast. I'm Lydia Howes, your host and one of many friendly librarians here. Tune in for information about the School of Medicine's activities and research, library events and resources, and anything else that we deem interesting. Last time on Sound and Query, our guests, Dr. Kevin Calder, a pediatric plastic surgeon and the director of SIU's Congenital Head and Neck Anomalies Clinic, and Maria Ansley, a medical photographer with the Institute of Plastic Surgery, spoke about Operation Smile and how they became involved in the organization. In today's installment, they'll describe Operation Smile missions in detail, share even more of their stories, and discuss how you can become involved. And you two actually met on a mission.
My first mission, yes.
That was your first mission?
That was my first mission.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Oh. With Bob.
Yeah, with Dr. Russell.
Yeah.
How did that happen exactly?
That mission?
I don't know that mission, how you met.
How did that happen? Gosh, that's been a couple of years now. It was really quite quick when it happened. I don't know how it works for you, but about mid-December, he comes in. He's like, okay, we're ready. We're going. And I'm like, really? And then the emails start arriving.
That was from Dr. Russell.
Yeah, Dr. Russell. Mm-hmm. Dr. Russell is also a local plastic surgeon here, and he's clinical faculty at SIU. And he's always made it a point to take our residents on the missions and help give them the experience of repairing cleft lips so that when they go out into the world, this is something that they know how to do. And so I was fortunate that time he was taking two residents with him and myself, and off we went that year. And I want to say it was mid-February, and we were headed to Nicaragua.
Yeah. It's actually neat because Dr. Russell is a long-term volunteer of Operation Smile, mm-hmm. was even on their board of directors for a time, and was also instrumental in doing some missions to Vietnam and teaching microsurgery to international surgeons. So, you know, we have to tip our hat to Dr. Russell and for everything that he's done.
I think he went to Russia and did that too.
He did, actually. He actually operated on one mission.
Yeah, that's right.
And the anesthesiologist on the mission, who's running the anesthetic for my case and my table, was a patient who had previously been operated on by Dr. Russell when he was a child.
On a mission. As he had a cleft palate, I believe.
And a bilateral cleft lip. For me, it was a little different because after I finished my time in Virginia in 2013, I went back home to Canada and was in private practice working there, but always maintaining close ties with Operation Smile and going on about 2 or 3 missions a year. And so the opportunity came for me to go to Nicaragua, and I'd heard of SIU, obviously, but I'd never
heard of us.
I've been to Springfield because when I drove back to Canada from Virginia, I stopped in Springfield, but I didn't visit SIU.
Yeah.
And so when I met them, I was, you know, impressed obviously by their demeanor and their friendliness, and had a great time teaching the residents, working with Dr. Russell. And then at the end of the week, I was surprised that they suggested that I consider having a look at Springfield and SIU. And then I guess you say the rest is history, but after multiple visits to Springfield following that mission, I decided to accept a job at SIU and come down.
So Operation Smile brought you here.
Absolutely. And brought us together.
Oh. Oh.
Do you, either of you have any trips planned currently or?
Well, we just got back from the Philippines in February.
Yeah, the very end of February.
Yeah.
Yes. Which was, we had just gone there last year too.
And then I'm planning to go to India in September. I've been to India
with Operation Smile.
Been there 3 times. This will be a 4th trip to India. And one of the neat things that's happened out of our, you know, our collaborations with surgeons all over the world is that we've had 3 now Filipino surgeons who have visited SIU and who have spoken to our residents about some of their cleft surgeries and also some of their reconstructive surgeries as well. So we are trying to build this international collaboration with SIU and with other countries. And not this year in the Philippines, but the year before, SIU and some of our work that we'd done there with Dr. Russell and myself and Maria and the team from SIU and some of the residents was chronicled on the Operation Smile documentaries that people may see on their televisions on like a Saturday or Sunday morning. So
okay.
Be able to tune in and see that.
Yes. Pay attention to the TV guy.
That's right.
I do want to point out Operation Smile, it's done on a volunteer basis, correct? So all of this is coming out of your personal time.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. We take vacation time to go from work.
if you take vacation time, do you have any time to go sightseeing while you're there, or is it all just...
Generally, they have one free day built in, and that's really about it, because you arrive and you hit the ground running. You arrive, you generally the next day commute to the location, and then you have some free time that evening. The next morning, you start your clinic.
Screening patients.
You might screen
250 to 350
patients. Yeah, you might
screen
patients for 2 days, or it might just be 1 day. It depends. Then you generally have a team day, and then it's Monday, and you start surgery. And surgery usually starts, you get up around 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning, have breakfast, have a team meeting, and you're at the OR and usually there until about 9 o'clock at night, sometimes later.
And how long is each mission?
So usually you operate for 5 days, one day team day, 1 to 2 days of screening. So you're looking at about 7 to 10 days for the mission, but then you'll have travel on either way. And if you're headed to Asia, it's usually,
a
couple days of travel.
About 28 hours of traveling.
Yeah, so 10 to 14 days, depending on the length of the mission.
Can you describe the process from your end and your perspective? What's it like for a patient?
Wow, I mean... We can only, I guess, guess based on
One of the things that I put in our first talk that when I came back and that we gave was I took a picture of the form, the intake form that the patients fill out. And one of the parts is how do they arrive? And one of the options is by car, one is by bus, and one is by donkey.
By donkey.
By donkey. Swear? Yes. I swear. So I mean... it just kind of gives you a realization that it's a lot different than what we have here. Mm-hmm. At our last mission that we were at in the Philippines, they had drop-off points at different locations, and the Philippine Army was picking them up and bringing them to our clinic site, which was an open-air basketball court where we were doing our clinics.
Seeing your patients, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, I think, under construction because there was plenty of rebar and cinder blocks. And,
yeah. It's, some patients travel 4 to 6 hours. Some people take a week to get there. Depending on the country, they sometimes have very good local outreach and a network of midwives or nurses who help to identify patients who would benefit and then help to get them to where they need to go. And we often collaborate with other non-governmental organizations and sometimes even with local governments themselves to bring them where they need to be. But from a patient's point of view, I mean, in some ways it's fairly overwhelming. Some of them have never seen a doctor ever in their life. Some patients have never seen a child with a cleft lip or palate. So for them, it's sometimes quite exciting because they realize that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm. And they find friends.
Absolutely. And they start to, they don't have to hide their face or their, their deformity from other people. They can be themselves. Their parents are there, cheering and quite excited. And, once they go to the screening process, they get a medical chart made up. Then they go through and they see all of the team that's there. So they are seen by a nurse to get their weight, their vital statistics, make sure that they're healthy enough, identify their age. Sometimes they don't know their birth date, so we have to kind of guess how old they may be. And then they go through and they see anesthesiologists, the plastic surgeons.
The photographers.
See the pediatrician. They always see the photographer. They see the dentist who comes with us on our team. They see a speech pathologist. And then they go through a gatekeeper who makes sure that all of the documents in order. And then, they progress through the whole mission process. They will be selected for surgery or not. And if they're not selected, they're explained why. And then they are seen in the morning of surgery, child life specialists who are there to help and greet them. And then they get surgery. They are seen in the recovery room and then the post-op ward. And it's really neat because it's not only just an opportunity to interact with the patients who then maybe see their face repaired in a mirror for the very first time, but you have parents who are grateful for basically a gift that they couldn't ever be given locally, and to see them interact and to be excited about this, this opportunity event in their child's life. It's, I'm not sure how you describe it, akin to, a baptism or a bar mitzvah or some sort of, major milestone in that child's life. It's really quite impressive.
Sometimes the patients don't even make it during clinic, like this young man, and they come while surgeries are happening and they get evaluated by the team during that. But one of the things Dr. Caller didn't mention was when children are turned away, it's generally for a reason. They get it explained to them. Operation Smile also goes about to help them get those things taken care of so that the next time they come, they can get surgery. Sometimes it's because they're a newborn and we're not going to operate on somebody that's that young. They're not going to take that risk. And so they help them with speech pathology, learning how to feed and you know, so that when Operation Smile comes back in 6 months, the child's healthy and has a great birth weight so that they can have the surgery that they need. So even though you get turned down, you're still getting services that are extremely helpful for them.
You said some of these children have never seen a doctor before. That seems really overwhelming to go from, you know, this is my first doctor to seeing like 5 or 6 different people.
Yeah, absolutely. It can definitely be overwhelming.
And how do you deal with that?
Well, we rely a lot on our child life, you know, who are fantastic. You know, they deal with the kids and help them to kind of understand their way through the medical system. They do a lot of distraction. There's a lot of bubbles. There's a lot of, you know, bright lights. And everyone's always extremely willing to help out. That's one of the really neat things about an Operation Smile mission. It doesn't function quite what it does in a regular hospital. You have surgeons who are down on their hands and knees playing with kids. And you'll have nurses who are doing, you know, whatever it takes, you know, for the family. They may be consoling a mother or a grandmother, or, you know, helping siblings who don't have a cleft who are there with the family. So everybody comes together in a way that doesn't always happen in healthcare that we're used to. The roles kind of blend together a little bit more.
It's definitely a team effort, and the whole team is sort of brought to one level.
Everybody is important.
Absolutely. Everybody is important and helps
some
everyone.
So who are members of the team that maybe we haven't mentioned yet?
The students.
We haven't mentioned the students. The medical records volunteers.
Oh, the PC.
The program coordinator who makes it all happen.
Oh, and they're amazing young people.
And even some of our donors. So you have people who donate to Operation Smile who sometimes are privileged guests to come on a mission. The students are usually high school students, but sometimes university students who've been volunteering for Operation Smile for a long time who come on a mission, and they do a number of things. They help to educate parents and families about malnutrition, dehydration, proper oral hygiene, and brushing the teeth and things like that.
Washing their hands.
And then they also help to document some of the family's experiences. You know, often surgeons are busy. We're operating. We're trying to, you know, get to as many children as possible. And sometimes once surgery week starts, we don't have as much time as we would like to be able to sit down with, you know, mom and dad or parents and actually get to know these families really, really well. So that's where, you know, the nurses and the students come in to help out.
And I'm looking at a picture on Maria's phone. Who's this little guy?
He's a young man that came in midweek last year in the Philippines. And he has a special cleft. His is a little different. I'll let you talk about it.
Yeah, he's a bilateral Tessier cleft. Tessier was a craniofacial surgeon out of Paris who described atypical clefts throughout their entire face. And he has a cleft going out from both sides of the mouth. And so we were able to fix him with Dr. McGee, and just a cute little boy. Mom came in who also had a lot of dental work that needed to be done. And so we were able to operate on them both.
You helped the mom with her dental work too. So what other types of surgeries besides just repairing clefts does Operation Smile do?
So there's a classification system in terms of our priorities, and obviously cleft lip and cleft palate is, you know, kind of the goal of what Operation Smile tries to achieve. But obviously children that are, you know, may have a complicated problem in their mouth who are not able to do surgery, we can have them seen by a dentist to make an obturator, which is basically like a plastic shield for the roof of the mouth that can act to block fluids and air going into their nose. So obturators, any type of dental work. We also do congenital hand deformities, a lot of burn scar contracture releases. The burn cares can be quite challenging in foreign countries where they maybe use a lot of gas to cook. So we'll do burn scar contracture releases, sometimes congenital nevi or moles that children are born with, any other type of disfiguring condition. And then we also have a program through Operation Smile called World Care. And so this is for people with severe craniofacial disorders that it would not be safe to operate on them in their local country. And we have offices in Australia and South Africa and in the United States where we can sponsor these children to, instead of having the surgeries done locally, you know, bring them to a primary care first world facility in order to provide their surgeries. So we do try to target all sorts of children in order to help them.
If someone was interested in getting involved, what would they need to do? Either, let's separate that out for two things. If, you know, members of the SIU community, what can they do? And then for our listeners who maybe don't have a medical background but want to help out with the mission.
Sure. Anybody can be involved with Operation Smile. And that's the really neat thing about Operation Smile. We have medical, we have non-medical volunteers. Medical volunteers, they have to go through a credentialing process, have to verify their credentials, obviously. And that can be done by contacting Operation Smile. And the Cook credentialing officer there is Michelle Joyner. I'm often handing out her cards to people who are interested, you know, plastic surgeons, pediatricians, neonatologists, any type of nursing, floor care nursing to intensive care nursing,
OR.
Anesthesiologists or scrub nurses and scrub techs are welcome. And any type of dental and child life specialists are encouraged to apply. I'd love to work with you. In terms of non-medical volunteers, like I had mentioned, there's always people who are there to oversee the students, the high school students, are called student sponsors. We have medical records, so they can actually work in some of the record keeping of patients. And then, of course, anybody can volunteer and help to fundraise with Operation Smile. For approximately $250, you can change a child's life by giving them a new smile. So there's lots of different opportunities to participate and to volunteer.
Then I will just say again, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it very much.
I love having people come. Thanks for listening to Sound and Query. For more information about the library, its services and resources, or to learn about future events and podcasts, please visit our website at www.siumed.edu/lib.